being together. Moreover, I will endeavor that I may be able, after my demise, deceased, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised tables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, my witnesses of His Majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All right, we welcome to our class Brother Arthur Crawford from Camden. And what we do, Brother Crawford, we have comments on these verses, and we just raise your hand and call them once you
learn. Could you say what chapter 2?
Second Peter chapter 1.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, beginning at verse 15. And we raise our hands and we call those discussion.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's read. Right on verse 15. What does endeavor mean? Anybody have had? Yes, Paul.
To hope to be held steadfast.
Could be. Anybody else on? Any hands on endeavor? What's I endeavor? Yes.
Try to do something.
Try to do something. All right, try to do something. And in verse 15, he endeavors to do what? He's talking about what? Any hands on that? Yes.
I mean, well, we endeavor to do whatever is glory of God, to serve Him with a pure heart, whatever His will.
All right.
We do according to His will. Jesus, not my will, but Your will.
But in verse 15, what does Paul endeavor to do? Verse 15.
He endeavors to serve the Lord and glory.
No, no, verse 15. 2 Peter 1:15. What does he do? Anyway, yeah, Pastor Dan.
Peter wants them to endeavor.
He wants them to endeavor. I wonder ever that ye do what? What's the hands on that? What are you going to do? Ye do what?
I answer a question.
Yes.
I think Barbara's out there in her car. Should I go?
No. She went out there. She just went out for a while.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that ye got for me, that I may be ready, not as though I already attained, but I follow after.
Okay, but what in this verse 15 does he want the endeavor to do? And he may be able to do what?
The will of God.
No, verse 15, yeah, Pastor Dan.
He does want them to do the will of God.
Oh, sure.
But he's dead after his decease. Verse 15.
You're right.
He wants them to do certain things, but when he's, that they will endeavor, once he's gone.
Once he's gone, to do what? What does he want them to remember or to do? Yes, Bob?
The things which he's written.
All right. He wants to do things in remembrance. He wants to remember the things he's written. See? I'm glad that Peter wrote something down so we could talk about it and have remembrance of all that he taught about these things in his books. Always in remembrance.
Do you agree that whatever we do to the glory of God?
Oh, yes, that's right.
And according to his will. If I do, like
the kingdom
come, that will be
done. Yeah,
serve the Lord. Yeah.
But in verse 16, what does it say he has not done? Yeah.
Do you want to read it?
No. We ask you a question. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
These things going back to, add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, the patience, godliness, kindness, for kindness, charity. For these things being you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so perhaps these things refers back to these things that are beginning in verse 5.
Yes, probably so. All these things he wants to keep in remembrance, all these things to do.
Amen.
And then what does it say he's not done in verse 16? What has not done? Enhance on them. What has Peter not done?
Follow cunningly devised fables.
Okay. Yes, Pastor Dan.
He has not died yet.
He hasn't died yet.
He hasn't put off his tabernacle yet.
Yes.
He has not died yet.
But he says he has not followed cunningly devised tables. That's the answer to that. Now,
Pastor, yeah, wait. Yeah. I'll say one thing. I don't mean to slow you down. Proverbs 15:28 says, it says, a righteous man studieth the answer. And James 1:19, he so to speak. So I'm going to try to get in with y'all to fit in.
Sure.
That way, to be quick to, a lot of people give quick answers without thinking. But like in Luke 21:19, in your faith and possessions, bless you. So let's take that perfectly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fit in with y'all. Okay. I'm going to study up on these things. Okay?
That's okay. So right in the verse, is that found, what is he not found? A cunningly devised fable. What would a devised fable mean?
Huh?
What's this up by Isaiah Katz?
Would be like a story that's wasn't true.
That's right, just a fairy tale.
See? Yeah.
He hasn't followed. He's cunning. Now, why is the word cunning there about it first?
I just want to explain that when you ask the question, I'm the first. The answer's
in the verse. That's right. So, Brother Crawford, just stick to the verse. That's correct. So, now what does cunning mean? Anybody have a hand on that? Paul?
Deceitful and could it mean conniving?
That's a conniving and tricky, see? You have to tricky. See, people sometimes cunningly devise fables and fairy tales. We haven't followed those when we did what? We haven't followed when we did what? What did Peter do in verse 16? For we made known unto you the power and what else?
Coming
of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, so he hasn't followed, he didn't lie when he talked about the coming of the Lord and actually what he saw of the Lord. And also, in that next part of that verse, the very fact part, what was true? Pastor Dan.
He was eyewitness, he and the other apostles were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
All right. And guess what does eyewitness mean?
That is, he saw it.
You saw it, you're fair.
Oh, I got very good. I'll be gone. Yeah. 1 John 1:1, I'll give a good sort of that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes,
yes,
which our eyes have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Yes. So a witness, eyewitness, is saying,
we speak that we know and we testify.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm not sure if you're at that point in this verse yet.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the transfigured Lord.
All right, in verse number 17.
He was transfigured.
That's right. We received from God the Father. Now, who was God the Father? And let's see if hands on that. Who is God the Father? Yes.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father of our Jesus Christ. Yes. Okay. Now, he's the Father. God the Father. He's deity. And he's the Father of our Savior. And what is true? When he received, who's the he referred to in verse 17? Who's the he referred to? Hands on that, yeah, Bob?
I think it's Jesus.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, God, the Lord Jesus, received from his Father, God the Father. What did he receive? What two things did he receive?
Excellent.
Any hands on that? Who did he, what did he receive, yeah, Bob?
The excellent glory.
He received, well, not excellent, but what?
Oh,
what's the word? That's Tammy.
Honor and glory.
So the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father, verse 17. Verse 17. 2 Peter 1:17. Yeah, 1:17. I received honor and glory from God the Father. Now, at what point and when? Sir, let's get this phone first. Let's get this phone first from Texas. Oh, faith, yes, faith. Go ahead, faith from right here. This is. Well, that's wonderful, Faith. You say hello. Thank you very much. Thank you, Faith.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you.
Let's wave. Let's wave to Faith and Evan and everyone. Gary? All right, so we've got four different screens watching for us. See, see, Brother Crawford, not just in this room, but all over. See, people are watching and listening. Yeah, that's right. Yes, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I got an email from Michael and Sharon. They say, I comment about verse 15, I'm sorry, I just noticed this.
Michael who?
Michael?
Fisher.
Fisher?
Fisher.
Fisher, I guess you don't know Michael. Go ahead.
He wants to be sure to continue after he's gone, not stop.
Good. Where is he from? You know, does he say?
I'm not sure.
That's way to Michael Fisher. Is Fisher? Is it Fisher?
Mission M.
Oh, Mission.
With
an M. Okay. And Brother Mitchell, please let us know what your phone is and where you're from so we can see to you next time. Thank you very much for your comment there on the email. All right, so received from God the Father. What is it?
He was commenting.
Verse 15, yes. Verse 15, yes. But so, as we read verse 17, we receive honor and glory. In what way did the Lord Jesus receive honor and glory from God the Father in verse 17? Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Verse 17.
I do know that he is heir of everything when he's worthy of all the praise, all of the eternity, the glory and the power and dominion forever. Mm-hmm.
So,
and for him with all things made for him, he's worthy of everything.
That's true. Now in verse 17, how did the Father show the glory of his Son?
Well, at the baptism and also the transfiguration, he says, my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased.
All right. When did that take place?
His baptism.
We received, first of all, the eyewitness of excellent glory. We received the voice to him from the excellent glory. Where is the excellent glory? Do you think? Any hands on that? Where is the excellent glory?
Yeah.
Any hands on that? Nobody? Yeah, Cass?
Well, from the Father in heaven.
Father in heaven. So, and that was at his baptism, wasn't it? Now, what does it mean? My beloved Son. In what relationship with the Father? In what way is the Lord Jesus God's Son? Yes,
Brother. Well, he's his only begotten Son.
Only begotten Son.
And also, he's God. He's God the Son. His deity is co-equal with God.
That's right, the Father.
But he humbled himself to the Father.
That's right.
He humbled himself.
The order. The order was Father and the Son.
I am the Father of one, but the Father is greatest of them.
Yes.
But he does say in 1 John 5:7, that three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is everything that God would expect of himself.
Right. So it's all the attributes of the same. Cass, you had something on that?
No, I just put that in there.
Oh, okay. So I hang up, I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, so the excellent glory and his baptism. Who baptized the Lord Jesus?
John the Baptist.
Yes, Barbara?
Well, John physically baptized him, but the Holy Spirit came upon him.
Well, but he said at a later time he received baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? But at that time, it was water baptism by John. But later on, you will be baptized, he said, in the future, the Holy Ghost in his life. Yes.
Right. I understand. But didn't he also, wasn't that his? He did not have a ministry until this time.
John the Baptist?
No, Jesus.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. But the baptism, the water baptism, was by John the Baptist, right?
Right. But my thought was that God was pleased with his Son at that point in time.
Oh, yes.
When his ministry began.
Yes.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Sam and Karen. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, I just wanted to share a scripture about the glory of Jesus Christ from God the Father.
Uh-huh.
Philippians 2:8-11. Says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Wave the Sam over there is in the corner. Okay, yeah, Tammy, I'm sorry.
It, the transfiguration, he said the same thing.
Yes.
In verse 5.
All right.
While he yet say, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them,
mm-hmm.
and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Yes.
Hearing him.
So at both places, the
baptism.
The baptism of John back by John up, and also the transfiguration. That's right. So now, why do you think the Father said that to the people who were listening? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Bill.
Make it eminently clear that Jesus is deity.
All right. Cass?
He wanted it authenticated, and he did want them to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God from eternity past.
All right. Cass?
Well,
excuse me, Tammy.
In the context of the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to build up these tabernacles for Moses and Elijah, because they were also there.
Right.
And so God wanted to make sure that they understood that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ does not, I mean, that Moses and Elijah don't even compare to the Lord Jesus Christ.
No, yes, but
it comes to mind, I'll say quickly. I don't like to do it. when people talk about Jesus, you know, why does God do it? Why does he allow this? I find no fault in him. He's perfect. You know, him is the fully everything. There's no fault in him. There's none like him ever was. Mm-hmm. I don't find no fault in him no time.
Right. So anyone who I'm well pleased, other words, absolutely. Now, he said, my son. Now, when men or women trust Christ as Savior and Redeemer, they become God's children. In what sense is this, my son, different from people that are saved, my son? Any comments on that? Yeah. Barbara?
Well, because he's his only begotten.
All right.
We are born again.
Yes.
But we aren't the only begotten.
Right. So we're sons and children of God for a genuine faith, but he's the only son equal to the Father. Yes, Barbara? Tammy?
Well, that's what you're saying. The firstborn son of the Father.
Firstborn son of the Father. So he's deity, like the Father's deity, the Son is deity, the Holy Spirit, all God, all deity. So my son, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Let us read verse number 18, 19, and 20 together. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein truly he will trust that you may heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day that arise on your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Just read 21 also. For the prophecy came not in his old time the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. By verse 18, this voice, what is it referring to there? What voice is that? Any hands on that? Yes, John, Paul.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord Jesus, yes. Barbara? Then, Cass.
The Father. Uh-huh.
Father's voice. Yes? Yes.
Father.
All right, good. Yes.
Well, was the voice of the Father.
Voice of the Father.
Probably, yes. You know, I know that he spoke. The Holy Spirit also has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. But it was a voice, I heard his voice, the voice of God the Father.
Right.
And then, in verse 18, the voice came from down, we heard, from heaven. Now, where is God right now? Any hands on that? Yes, Barbara? Yes, it's in heaven now. And so he heard the voice from heaven. We heard. In other words, my question is this. Did Peter believe in heaven? Did Peter? Yes, he knew that there was a heaven of heaven where God dwelled.
Yes.
And a lot of people today are denying there's even such a thing as heaven. Some of them have the false heaven, don't they? Kill so many people, and you have so many brides in their kind of heaven. That's the Muslim heaven. It's not God's heaven at all.
You know what comes to mind is when in Matthew 16:18, how Peter believed so much. He said, "Who said I am?" You know, I said some say Elijah, some I read from the dead, a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jesus, I say that thou art Christ, the Son of the Living God.
Yes, Peter.
And Peter, he was after he became attached to Jesus. Love Peter, and God said to him, "If you love me," he was very close to.
Yes.
He did deny Christ at one time, but after he did it, he repented.
And
more than 3,000 saints mm-hmm. to the church, if I'm correct.
That's right. So he came back and he loved the Lord eventually, and wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. It was very good. And yes, that's right.
Alaska.
Oh, Alaska's calling.
Michael and Sharon from Alaska.
Oh, Michael and Sharon from Alaska.
Hayward,
Alaska.
Hayward.
Last name
no, that's their name.
What's your name?
Hayward.
Hayward.
You know Michael Hayward.
Let's wave again to Michael Hayward in Alaska. Way over Alaska.
And his wife,
Michael.
Sharon.
Okay, call us and give us your phone number and email so we can keep in touch with you. Appreciate it. All right, let's hear it again.
We have the email.
Yes, hello. Hello. Yes, Tim.
Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, so he was always pleased with the Father from eternity past because he's the eternal Son of God. And in his humanity, when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, but Christ was God, first of all, perfect God, perfect man, so he did not need to be born again. He did not need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because he was God, God the Son.
Yes.
And so, I mean, some people think that would mean that Christ had to be born again. That means he was born wrong the first time. He wasn't. He was perfect God, perfect man. We need to be born again. We receive the Holy Spirit, but only we believe because of the finished work. But Christ being God, he always was God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. They're all eternal. Yes. That's the appointment? Yeah.
That's good, Jim. That's very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's wave. Let's wave to Jim over in Massachusetts. Wherever Massachusetts. That's great. That's fine. Now, we say we knew these people. We have the email already. What's the name again?
Hayward. Michael and Sharon.
Up in Alaska. Okay, we have their email already, do we?
Well, they sent an email, so we have the email.
Oh, okay, so please give that to me, Dan. It'll probably be upstairs. All right, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where, it's where we are. And we're in verse number, I think, is it 18? When we went over the Holy Mount. Now, that was called what mount?
The
Mount of Transfiguration is what we call it, and it's not named. But then verse number 19, 2 Peter 1, 19, that's where we are, 1, 19. Now, what does Peter say that we have also in addition to these things? What does we have? Hands on it? Yeah. Cats?
Okay, a sure word of prophecy.
A sure word of prophecy. What is more prophecy? More. Yeah, Brother Crawford, you have a comment on that?
Well, a sure word of prophecy.
Yeah. What would that mean?
Prophecy is like a... if I speak on something, make a statement that I perceive is of the Holy Ghost, it's going to happen.
All right.
Revelation.
It's sure. That's good. That's Dan?
Barbara had a comment.
Oh, question me, Barbara. Go ahead.
That's all right. We have a more sure word.
More sure word. That's right. And what is prophecy? How would you define prophecy? Barbara?
Foretelling.
Foretelling. Especially for referring here probably to foretelling. A sure word of prophecy, and whereunto we do well, that we, what are we supposed to do with, excuse me, Pastor Dan and Tanner.
We're backing up a few verses to the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in all three of the Gospels, in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and John 1.
Mm-hmm.
They're all say similar things, but in John chapter 1, verse 32, and John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And essentially, that's all repeated in each of the Gospel accounts.
Yes, very good. So, the dove coming down of the Holy Spirit, where was the Trinity in that particular account? Give the Trinity right there at his back.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
It was all there, all present. Mm. The voice.
The voice was the Father.
Voice, the dove.
The Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus was there. Yes, Tammy and then Barry.
It wasn't a confirmation of the ministry that he had to the people that were there, that he was united, he was the triune God.
Right. Barbara, you had something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're in chapter 1.
Yes.
Then it says we're sure recorded do well. What are we supposed to do out of this prophecy? What are we supposed to do with it? Yes, Barbara?
We do well if we take heed.
What does it mean to take heed to something?
Listen.
Listen. What else?
Obey.
But take heed. In other words, you can listen, but you don't take heed. That means if somebody says, go here, and you don't go there, you're listening, but you're not doing it. See what you said, Brother Crawford?
Well, a deeper word that I would like, not only take heed, but apply to your life.
Yes.
Now, pay attention. As a written man should not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out of the mouth of God.
So pay attention.
Pay attention. And we live by, we pay attention, we walk. As we live, walk in the light as he is in the light.
We can
talk, he said, by your mouth. You speak with your mouth, but your heart is far from me.
Yes, sir. So take it, Jeff Paul.
I
saw your hand.
I take heed would be to be obedient to God's word and also to believe and obey.
Very good. So take heed. Now, what is the analogy of the take heed in verse number 19? There's an analogy, a figure of speech. What is it? Any hands on that? Cass, and then Barbara, you may join.
Well, so if you're as much of a light as in a dark place.
All right. That's the picture. The Joanne got something like that?
No, you can't see if there isn't any light in the dark.
That's right. But it's light, according to the Torah, he adds unto a light that shines in a dark place.
That's right. I don't know where we are.
We're in 119. 119 of 2 Peter. All right. You're welcome. So we got to take heed to prophecy just like taking heed to a light. that shines in a dark place. When light comes out of a bright pitch black thing, you can take any of that, you see it, can't you?
Can I say something one thing, Kate?
Go ahead.
Submit thyself. We submit thyself, like it says, I believe in James 4:7. Submit thyself to God.
Yes.
If we don't submit thyself to God and take heed, then we can submit ourselves and begin to do, think, apply, respond, comprehend, act, and all that's involved, and live by, and respond.
Now, when he says take heed as unto a light, in other words, in a dark place, when a light comes, everybody can take heed that you can see it, look at it, it shines forth, see? So take heed to the words of God, the prophetic words of God, as unto a light that you take heed of as shining in a big pitch black dark place.
Amen.
So that's the picture. Until what time? Until what time do you take heed? According to verse 19, any hands on that?
Well, you will.
And it has cast?
Until the day comes.
Day comes. And then what?
The day
star. The day star rises
in your heart.
See, so the prophetic scriptures speak of things in the future, but you take heed to scripture. Now, there's prophecy in the Old Testament, but also prophecy in the New Testament, the words of God. They're prophetic. And you take heed to them until the Lord Jesus returns according to his coming, until it shines in your hearts and you're right there. Any other? Yes, Cass.
This is just a comment, but when I go to bed at night, it's really dark, and then I have dark and shades and everything.
Yes.
So I have to have a flashlight when I get up at night.
Right.
So I take heed that I have that flashlight.
That's good.
Otherwise, I
would
fall down.
That's fall down. That's right. Yes,
but I didn't do it to the end, the same to be received.
Yeah.
And I know every night before I go to bed, I like to be in a decently in order. First, I take and shut my door, as it says in Matthew 6:6. When I pray, if I accept my door, get to myself, I get tune myself into God. I get tuned for radio. You get on the station. If you don't turn the station dial directly on, if you say I have a little contract, turn it into the Holy Spirit, you know, and make sure my mind is stayed on Jesus, clear my mind, that my eyes be saying. Then I begin to read, meditate. First, I want to pray.
Yes.
I want to pray. Yes, that's all. Prayer is powerful.
Right.
Then I pray. Then I read, and then before I go to bed every night, I've got to, if I can, pray and read a scripture.
A scripture. So taking heed to the light of the Word of God. Yes, Barbara?
That comes out of Song of Solomon, until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense, which represents Christ's life gift.
Yes.
I brought him frankincense and myrrh.
Now, what day do you think this is speaking of? The day star rises in your hearts.
Well, the base star arise in your heart. I know all I can think of is arise out that sleepeth in Christ will give thee light. I know that when I face people see, they have eyes that they see not, and ears that they hear not. At the time, they should be converted in the sense of being converted. The minute that I receive Christ, I receive light. And my step for me, when I first begin to see, because if I cannot, if I be blind, I can't leave. I'm in the dark, and I can't leave nobody else. But when that light arrives, the Holy Spirit it gives me access. To, we have access by one Spirit to the Father.
All right, Barbara.
The day gone is a specified day. It's the day.
Right.
So it's not just any day, but there's a day that dawns, and then there's the day star that arises. I'm thinking kingdom here.
Pardon me, Tammy?
Is that when our bodies are resurrected?
There could be
different times.
Another way of saying is this. The light that shines in the dark place. Take heed till that light comes into your hearts. And you understand, you follow the light itself. That's another way of looking at it, perhaps. And the day star arise in your hearts. So the day star, in other words, the light comes from the darkness. It's a possibility. But these are difficult situations, many of them, things to understand. But we already read 20, didn't we? What are we going to know here in verse 20? What's the first thing we're going to know? Peter said, yes, Father?
No prophecy in the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Now, prophecies for private interpretation, what do you think that means? Any hands on that? Private interpretation. Yeah, Cass?
Just making up what you think.
Okay, Barbara?
Pertaining to oneself.
Pertaining
to oneself, Tammy? It's just a individual scripture pulling it out of context.
All right.
And not taking it with the full understanding of the Word of God.
Do some people take scriptures out of context?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Brother Crawford?
So you can lean to your own understanding.
But if you're not leaning on your own understanding. For instance, remember I've always told you many times before about the women that have top knots in their hair. Remember? Up high?
Yeah.
And they quote the scripture, let not your top knot come down. Then they're on the housetop, knot come down. So top knot come down. Now you use that as scripture to take away your ponytails up on the head and bring it up.
That was just a joke.
I know, but they take it out of context. You know what they take out of context? Yes.
If you don't mind me saying, there's one that says in there, that's like he that trusted in his own heart is a fool.
That's right.
Whatever I do, acknowledge God in all his ways and he shall direct that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. And as it says in Psalm 119:133, order thy steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion. My faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Let's listen now. Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thank you for your day, everybody.
Oh, Jacob.
Thank you, let me turn from my donkey. I got
one more. Let there be life.
There it is.
In the
yes, sir. In verse 19, we also have a voice for a word of prophecy. He was just talking about seeing his resurrected, glorified Jesus. And even more than seeing that, we also have a voice for a word of prophecy, but over here, Malachi, Barbara mentioned Song of Solomon 2:17, I think it is. But over here in Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stumbled. And the day to come shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall this fire of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Shall go forth and roll the canvas of the stall. I think there is something to what Bob was saying, because that Song of Solomon 2:17, it sure looks like a real exact type of the rapture in poetry. The type, and I don't even think Solomon knew what he was writing there when he wrote this, because there was no way they could see that from the viewpoint of the Old Testament. But from the Song of Solomon 2:8-17.
Well, that's
just give up. I'm going to have to boycott words on Twitter if that don't look like you're coming
here
anyway.
Let me
all in the.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's wait to Jacob and Dale, his brother. Thank you. That's entirely possible, and many people feel that's the right thing, but they start right in your hearts. It seems like the coming of the Lord because it's starting in your hearts. It's a little different, but it's a possibility. All right, and then in verse. Yes.
I'll tell you.
Yes. You all right? So, in verse number 20, we said no private interpretation. Yes, 10.
Now, the Roman Catholic Church would say that no private interpretation means that people shouldn't read the Bible, and only the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church can properly interpret the Scripture, which is completely wrong.
Completely wrong, but they do say that. They do say keep the Bible out of the hands of the people. I think later on, maybe they said read a little bit. It's a little bit they changed, but originally that's what they said. Yeah. Private. See, we've got to be sure to have things in context and understand the context. That's why we believe that dispensations are the way to look at things. Dispensational church, 7 different dispensations. God speaks in one area, but one way and the other way. And those are consistent in themselves, but we can't apply what God says in the one dispensation to the other. As we said this morning, when God told Noah to build an ark, because it's going to rain, flood the whole earth. We don't do that. It's saying we have to be sure to have no private, given context, and the dispensational picture. Then in verse 21, again prophecy, how did it come and how did it not come? Any hands on that? How did prophecy not come? Pastor Dan.
It did not come by the will of man.
All right, see, now to what are people today, what is their prophecy? It's false prophecies. Where is the source of their false prophecy?
It may come from themselves, or it could be satanic.
Could be satanic, that's right. It's coming from their own hearts or minds. They just say different things.
I got him.
What's that? So, not for the will of man, but how did it come, prophecy of old time? Any hands on that? Yes, that's then.
Can we just go back to the previous verse from Alaska? We have or primary verse 19, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The public thinking is until the day dawn could refer to when the completed New Testament was available.
Yes. Could be day dawn, that's right. Or for full revelation. Yes, sir. Cast that.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Okay. Then the first prophet.
Well, there's only two lines. You know, that was of the Spirit and that which is not of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And for the Spirit of the Prince of the Power of the Air working for the children of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Holy Spirit. If he's of the Spirit, but not of the Spirit.
That's true.
So if he's of God, but not, and there's only one God, there's but one God, and one Father, and one Son, and one Holy Ghost.
That's right. So now in this verse number 21,
the previous comment from Alaska, if we tie that in with 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13, as far as, you know, when that which is purpose has come,
mm-hmm.
that which is in part should be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we understand why that possibility, only part of the phrase is kind of has to be clarified, we're not quite, maybe not waiting until the day star rises starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the sure word of prophecy. Prophecy was when prophecy stopped, when the canon was completed.
Yes.
But nonetheless, prophecy was still sure.
That's
and
right.
In verse 21, we're talking about it's not of a private interpretation, but it came by the will of God, not by the will of man.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy came, that's how it came by God's will, by God's directives.
Right. Yes, the verse 19, part of it could refer to the coming of the Lord. Many have felt that way. I understand that part of it, the first part. So in verse 21, it didn't come by the will of man, but the will of God. Now, what kind of men did God use to write down his Bible? Yes, Brother Barber?
Holy men of God.
Holy men. Barber? All right, now, were these holy men, I mean, absolutely perfect men?
No.
Yes, Barber?
No, they weren't perfect, but they were sanctified and justified because they had to believe to be holy.
All right. God selected these men to write down the Scripture. Who's the source of the words that they wrote down?
God the Holy Spirit. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, then to the writers. That's right. He said, you're not to speak of himself or from himself, but whatsoever you hear of me, the Lord Jesus, he'll speak. So the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave these things. Now, the holy men have spake as they were what?
Moved by the Holy Spirit.
Moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Now, what does that refer? Is this verse 21 referring to Bible translations?
No,
it's not. What is it referring to? Any hands on that? What is exactly what this is referring to? This take place?
I like your thing. Could you read that?
Hands up? Yes. Now, perhaps it came out in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Yes, Barbara? And Pastor Ed.
If I understood your question, it was the Old Testament at this time.
All right.
Scripture.
And by extension, what else? What other part?
Probably
just the effect then.
Well, Prince. What's your thing that
I
come?
Of course, then.
I didn't quite get the question. Could you repeat it?
But does this move of the Holy Spirit refer to Bible translations?
No.
What does it refer to specifically? Yeah, Barbara?
Scripture.
What type of scripture?
The first one, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic.
Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Holiness spake as they were moved in the Spirit. Now, those are the ones that. Now, these people, some of them believe in the inerrancy and inspiration of the translations. But that's not what this verse is teaching. No translation has been given by the Holy Spirit of God moving in. Not a single one. And people argue with them all the time. First, the King James Bible, it's an accurate translation of the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved words of God, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. But this is a translation. It's not perfect. I had a woman call me from Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, right near Greenville. She wanted to, she was a Bruckman physician, and He erupted your possessions around to give me some material. He gave her a bunch of materials that she could look through, but she's been taught that that's what it was. It's, and Dale Reppinger says, throw out your Hebrew, throw out your Greek. Don't you go even look at a Strong's Concordance. It gives you the Hebrew and Greek words. The, God has thrown that all out, given a special inspiration revelation of the King James Bible. Absolute heresy. So this is the Holy Men of God spake as they are moved directly by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so that's important. Any other comments on chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2?
No, I'd like to say some little thing comes to mind. First John 5:7. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. These three agree and are one.
Right.
And so Jesus said, but I am the Father of one, and the Father. So whatever happens, the Trinity has to agree.
Good. Let's see what we got here. Yes, Anna. Anna Wade from York, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Anna.
Hi. I just had a comment on chapter 1 of Willing Dress. It talks about having had this experience, this wonderful experience where he saw the little glorified lake. He saw Moses and Elijah speaking, and the scripture is even more powerful than that. And so we have, like, God gave us everything we need to know, right there, black and white.
Amen. Good. Well, thank you, Anna. Let's wait, Anna. Our granddaughter, there she is, up there in her Pennsylvania. By the way, she brought up something I want to refer to. At the Mount of Transfiguration, three were up there. Who are the three?
Moses.
Elijah. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was listening? Who are the three that were listening?
Peter, James, and John.
What was Peter's erroneous suggestion?
To build three tabernacles.
Now, why was that erroneous?
Because they're not, and the Lord Jesus Christ is far superior.
Far superior. They're trying to make an equal situation, see? So Peter was off that, and he's off in a different place. But praise the Lord, he got back with the Lord, and he's back here writing 2 Peter and 1 Peter. That's good. Yeah, Bill.
Regarding translations, God has never needed to correct himself or improve on what he is saying. He has revealed little by little throughout history, but each builds on the previous revelation. He does not change anything. So if Gail Ripplinger is saying throw out the original languages,
yes,
she's saying throw away the words of God,
right,
and saying these are man's words, even right, though this is opposite, a good translation.
Right, right.
She's honoring man's words rather than God's
right
words.
Since it's heresy, I always tell the people that tell me that, I say, all right, let me ask you a question. How many original versions of the King James? Well, there's 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Which one did God breathe out? 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 6th, or 7th, see? And then if he breathed out these separate, which one was God breathed? Which was inaccurate? Did he make a mistake on the first? Had to go with the second, third? The other thing I tell him about is this. In the original King James Bible, at 1611, there was the Apocrypha. All these 10 to 12 erroneous books, many false teachings in those books. Did God also breathe those things out falsely? See, he made a mistake in all this heresy. So these are things I try to tell people who believe in the King James only. Yes.
And well, people say that there are some people that say, When Jesus says, well, God always talked to the people, he writes the scriptures, that they misinterpreted some. People say that too. That they did a misinterpretation of what God was saying.
Well, if they wrote accurate on what God said, God never makes a mistake.
Well, they say the man made a mistake.
Well, that's false. Let's listen to what we got here. Yeah. Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
I just wanted to comment on what Adam said and give a scripture reference about that. We have a portion of the word of prophecy that is certainly true about this Bible. We have a complete Bible, but I just want to quote Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's amazing to me that this word is so Well, I can't even add anything to that.
Very good.
Anyway, Oh, yeah, yeah, Mount Sinai, too.
Okay, Mount Sinai. Say wave to both the both of them, Mama,
Jacob,
and Dale. All right, thank you very much. Any other comments?
Yeah, so that's not true. What God told these men to write, they wrote down.
Right.
But some people say, I don't know if you probably heard about this, some people say that when they were writing it down, they misunderstood what God said and then wrote something else. But that is not true.
Well, verse 21 makes it very clear. They didn't speak by the word of God, but by the Holy Spirit, speak as they were moved and led by the Spirit of God. Yes, sir. Good.
Ten. I have a comment from Anna here.
Go ahead, Anna.
She said, remember the thou shalt commit adultery. In the
mistake.
One of the versions,
one of the versions, the King James says, thou shalt commit adultery. Did God make that mistake? Against his words, it's stupid and ridiculous to throw out the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words and only for some translation. Yes, Brother Crawford.
Yeah, I just want to say that, it's in the Old Testament, and as I said, every word of God is pure in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, I believe that's 2 Timothy 2:15, I think it's that.
Yes.
But all scripture is by inspiration of God.
Right.
It's from the doctrine of truth, for instruction, for correction, and for instruction of righteousness, and
Something like that. That's right, that's after Eddie.
So there was no misinterpretation. None.
No, the writers were led by the Holy Spirit. It says they're led by the Spirit of God. Wrote down exactly what the Spirit of God led them to write down.
You know how many people say they got it wrong?
How many people?
A lot of people.
A lot of people say they got it wrong. Well, that's on them. It's not on the Lord's.
Yeah.
Any other comments on chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2?
If you make the accusation in a court of law, you have to have the proof to prove it. Otherwise, it's thrown out.
They
can't prove it.
Any other hands or questions on chapter 1? Okay, let's move on to chapter 2. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Now, verse 1. What was true of the past in verse 1? Any hands on that? Tammy.
They were false prophets.
All right, give me some of the false prophets of the Old Testament. What were some? Do you remember any of them? What did they prophesy? What did they say? In the Old Testament, the false prophets, yes, correct.
Well, when Ahab and Jehoshaphat were asked to go to battle, and all the false prophets said, oh, you'll have great success, and then Jehoshaphat wanted a different prophet.
Right, from the
Lord.
One
of the Lord. And
instead of Baal, prophets, yes.
Right.
Lots of false prophets,
and
yes.
And he contradicted what the others said.
That's right. And Barbara?
The minor prophets especially spoke about the people that say, you know, peace, well, that was Isaiah, peace, and there is no peace.
Mm-hmm.
But there were apparently a lot of people contradicting the prophets that we have in Scripture as to what they were saying, because they were, the Bible prophets were telling the truth.
That's right. So there were many false prophets in the Old Testament. And what does he say in the future? What does he say is going to come in verse 1? Any hands on that? Yes,
I don't know about it.
First one?
I talk to you about myself.
Oh.
But anyway, I do know in the last days, so many to talk, I know to depart from the faith, to heed the doctors of devils, seducing spirits, and to have a form of godliness, but denying the truth.
The power of that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's true. So in verse number 1, even so, what's going to happen in the future?
There's going to be false teachers.
False teacher. Would you define what a false prophet would be and what a false teacher would be? Anybody define those two terms?
Yeah, Paul. A false prophet would be someone predicting the end of the world was going to be a place we had not come to pass.
Uh-huh. And the false teacher? Anybody want to call speak? Yes. Cass, Joanne, and then Brother Crawford. Cass?
There's some of the teaching things that are not biblical. Not God's word.
Okay. Joanne?
Look, you have to be really careful who you're listening to, whether it be on the radio or television, etc.
Yes.
Because of these false prophets and teachers.
Yes.
And Ed has a problem that he's listened to a lot of these people. That's why
yes.
You know.
That doesn't mean I agree.
Harold Camping is very false. Yes.
And I mean, I can't say that I've ever listened to any of them, you know. I put it on, and as soon as I hear something that is against what I've been taught,
yeah.
I shut it off.
Good. Brother Crawford.
Well, that's the thing that led me over here. You asked when I go, what led me over here?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that goes contrary to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any man, when I study the Word of God, that's why I said study the Word of God.
Yes.
And you may find yourself a fool to God, a word that mm-hmm. needs not be attained, mm-hmm. rightly dividing the Word of truth. Mm-hmm. And we speak that we know, and we testify that we've seen. As we learn from the things from the Word of God, if we're faithful and led by the Spirit, and abide in him. Jesus said, if he abides me and my words abide in you, to ask what you will, the job be done. When God makes his abode and you're in touch with him, in contact with him, and walking in the light, then God can talk with you. And anything contrary to the word of God, if he leads you in the path of righteousness, as you abide in you and you're set.
Yes, when the Lord leads us, we will go into false teaching. That's right, false teaching. Right. Let's see what we got here. Jacob from Texas. Right, Jacob?
Listen, Pastor Wayne, you know, a preacher pointed this out the other day. There's a part of this verse here that strongly destroys Calvinism. You know, these people are not saved, these false teachers, they're definitely bound for perdition or anything like that. Right? Well, this part here, who privily shall bring in them will never cease even denying the Lord that bought them. Oh, doesn't that show that he died for everyone?
Yes, sure does. Good, thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Jacob, let's wave again to Jacob and his mother, Dale. Yeah. Professor Dan.
Well, discernment, there's a level of discernment we have, and the way we get our discernment is to be familiar with the truth, the Word of God, what the Word of God teaches.
Discernment, that's what you're saying.
Discernment, yes. Yeah. So when something comes on, or we can come across it and it's not quite right, we should know that it's contradicts Scripture, and consequently it's a false prophecy. You know, like Joanne was saying, she hears something on the radio or someplace else that she can identify as wrong, not scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
But she, in order for her to do that, she has to have knowledge of the Word of God.
Yes. Knowledge of the Word of God. Go ahead. Who is this?
Hi, Pastor Wade, Jim.
Oh, Jim, come on. From Massachusetts. Okay, Jim.
I just want to, because this was personal. I had to get some family members delivered. So I'm going to just say what it is. It's on the A-name because a lot of people are deceived. The Assembly of God Church, they switched to the NIV perverted Bible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The NIV Eternal Son of Christ. Also, they teach that woman preachers, and they teach you to lose your salvation. So if you didn't lose your salvation, you're denying the God that bought you with his blood. Because the Bible says, by one offering we're perfected forever. And I was in the eternal life, and no man can pluck us out of God's hand. So they deny eternal salvation. They have a works. They have a Christ plus works gospel. They have a different gospel. They're deceiving the masses. And if anyone's hearing my voice and hates that, I would suggest get out of the Assembly of God Church and find a real, true Bible-believing church, like an Independent Baptist Fundamental Church,
yes.
King James, defending the right scriptures and all that, like yours.
Really?
So that's my little thing with false teachers that hit home. That, thank God, Jesus Christ delivered Christ from my family members in a false teaching of Assembly of God Church. Okay, thank you, Pastor Wade.
Thanks, Jim. Let's wave again. Straight to Jim, Massachusetts. Thank you very much. Yes, Harvey has some.
Yes, this privily is secretly. The subtlety with which they teach.
Mm-hmm.
False doctrine. Not so much anymore. I mean, like Joel Osteen is far from subtle. But there are plenty of them out there that were, that it's easy to be taken in by.
Absolutely. Now, in regard to false prophets, false is...
Even the example that Robert just gave, Osteen, to some people, he's very subtle. But to people that don't have any depth or any grounding in the Scripture,
mm-hmm.
they go right along with him.
Yes.
Whatever he says.
You have to have grounding. Now, notice it says false prophet knows that from even today, false teachers. Who are some of the false teachers today? Let's name them. Well, excuse me, Tanya first.
Oh, I was just
going to
read this passage from Deuteronomy. Go ahead. It talks about a prophet. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign of wonder comes to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proved you to know whether he loved the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Yes, very good. Very good. Yes, Brother Crawford?
Yeah, I just want to go over and come to mind. Like, I have a way I see young people going astray, young ladies, and sometimes I like to inform them of things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For this sort that they which keep the houses and lead captive silly, leading women with sin, laden with die with lust, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So when they come, these women, and they can even be men, it's not only women only, but men, children, people, little children, are like prey for those that for you be sober,
yes,
be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, is the Lord.
Is there false teachers? Well, false,
yeah,
actions.
Yeah, they go
false teachers,
and they
false
take people that lack knowledge, you know, yeah, because for the lips of the righteous feedeth many, mm-hmm, but fools die for want of wisdom.
Yes, yeah, Barbara.
For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This grace of our God into lasciviousness, the thing that comes to mind here is, if they teach, how do I want to say this? Like what you were talking about, the love of God. They only teach the love of God, that, you know, we can sin, that grace may more abound. There's no judgment. There's no whatever.
Now, there are two areas I want to bring up. See if we can. First of all, who are some of the false teachers? And secondly, what are some of the false teachings we have today in the churches? First, who are the false teachers? Let's make it. Yes, go ahead.
Chuck Smith, who took over for Peter Wagner.
Who's his name? Chuck Smith? Okay, who else?
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen is one. Who else?
Oh, no.
Who else? False teachers.
Chuck Smith was...
Chuck Smith?
That's a different Chuck Smith.
It's a different one.
Anybody else want to just have two false teachers?
Yeah, Peter Wagner.
What's the false, some false teachers today? Some Roman Catholics, and some of the false teachers are Roman Catholicism, that's for sure.
MacArthur.
John MacArthur's false teacher. Bill?
Joyce Meyer.
Yep.
Joyce Meyer, all right, that's fine. Yes, ten.
The Pope.
The Pope, really? No.
Kay MacArthur has fallen by the wayside.
Who's that?
Kay MacArthur.
All right. So a lot of false teachers. Now, let me give you some. What are some false teachings? Now, Jim told us one here in this verse. He talked about Calvinism. Yeah, Paul.
I didn't know this for a long time. Was it you? I'm trying to think. It might have been you. That I'm saying the false teaching being the Nazarenes, where they say you can lose your salvation.
That's one of the false teachings. Lose your salvation once you're generous. That's false. Lose your salvation once you're saved. That's a false teaching. What is another false teaching? Yes, Barbara?
Replacement theology.
What is replacement? You have to find
that the church has replaced Israel in the providence of God.
The church has replaced Israel. Israel not any longer in the future. Other false teaching. You mentioned Calvinism. What's the false teaching about that? Hyper-Calvinism. What do they say? What do they teach? Go
ahead. The Catholics deny there's only... there's neither any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must...
Well, that's the nature of the Catholics.
The Virgin Mary is not part of the Trinity.
That's right, not part of the Trinity.
She does not make any sense.
Right, yeah. Go ahead, pardon.
Rush Dooney and Dominionism.
Define Dominionism for you.
We have to make the world good enough for Christ to come back to.
Okay. Now, what's the heresy, false teaching of hyper-Calvinism? Yes, Barbara.
It's only the elect are saved.
Only the elect.
The ones that God has chosen.
Now, I remember when Jim called us from Massachusetts, he used this first verse. I didn't get to it yet, but he got to it. He said, these false teachers will privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. In what way did the Lord buy false teachers lost and bound for hell? Yes, Tammy?
He died on the cross for everyone.
He died on all the cross for
salvation available.
Now that's either deducted through hyper-Calvinism or Wall West. See, they don't believe he died for anybody except the elect, not the other people. Yes, pardon?
If he died for the elect, then there's no repentance, no belief, and no faith.
No, that's
true. You won the lottery.
That's right. You win. You're not doing no trust in Christ. That's why a lot of these hyper-Calvinists, why waste your money and time sending missionaries out? The Lord's going to save them, they'll save them. They're elect. So the Lord that fought them, see, this is important. He did die for them, but they didn't trust him, therefore they're lost. Yes, pardon.
Billy Graham teaches that even if you don't know the name of Christ, you can be saved in
heaven. Yeah, he's another false teacher. Billy Graham, okay. Lots of, now there are even new evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians, but teaching wayward doctrines, false doctrines. They may be itself be saved, but they're still teaching some false doctrines. Now, Bill.
Several years ago, and I keep telling this all the time, but it's just a shock. Somebody in a Lutheran church told me that if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior during your lifetime, you have one more opportunity after you die. Jesus will come to you personally and ask you to choose him. Now,
that's
if you're already dead, then and he's offered you a choice, why would you choose wrong at that point? Because exactly. Then you know for sure there's life after death.
All right. Well, stop right here. But any other questions on just chapter 1, the first verse, or any of the other things about chapter 1? Second verse, second chapter, or first? Any other comments before we close? Well, let's close in with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for this verse. Thank you for Timothy, or Peter, rather, coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ in fellowship and union and unity. We thank you for his books, 1st and 2nd Peter. We thank you for these verses in 1st chapter and 2nd chapter as well. Guide us and direct us as we study thy word. Help us each to apply it to our hearts that we do not fall into these terrible false doctrines that are very clever and cunning and divisive. We pray these things. Go with us. Give us a good day today and help us who are loved and who are saved to live for our Savior day by day. Bring us back safely on Thursday, the Bible study, that we may glorify thee. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Say, Lord,